If you will, open your Bibles up to the book of Jude. The book of Jude. Jude chapter only. Praise the Lord. You know, in spite of all the negative things that's going on around the world, how many of you know, it doesn't matter how negative things get, how many of you know that the church is here? We haven't been raptured yet. The church is here. And how many of you can trust that God is at work within the churches? Amen. You know, man can always mess things up. But God, He's good at messer-uppers. He makes sure He gets His will done in spite of the messer-uppers. And so the message I have today is, be encouraged in troublesome times. If you want to put a message to my message, be encouraged in troubled times. We can be encouraged. We don't have to walk in the spirit of fear. Many people are walking in the spirit of fear, and we don't have to. We can choose to walk in the victory that God has for us. But I'm going to share with you the thing that has been very key to the success of my walk with the Lord. And if it works for me, it can work for you. One thing about our walk with God, our fellowship with the Lord. Our fellowship with the Lord is not predicated on somebody else. Our walk with the Lord is predicated on our ability to have fellowship with Him. Now, He did something about my relationship, but I have to do something about my fellowship with mankind. And as long as I am in good fellowship with my Heavenly Father, then things will work out in my life. Because the first line of defense that God gives me is how to walk with people. How to walk with people. And that is probably one of the most difficult things that we face in our life. And many of us don't realize that. And that is how to walk with people. Because people can, outside of you, people can be strange, right? Outside of you. Praise God. But we are living in a troubled times, a fearful time. And whether you realize it or not, Paul actually shared with Timothy about the troubled times that the last days would hold for the church. And I guess the best defense for the church today, because I do believe we're in the last of the last days. Amen. And I know that there's a lot of doctrines going around now that talk about end times and they'll work themselves out and don't be concerned about them, but you know, focus in on where you're at now and everything. I'm going to tell you something. The more the fearful the times, the riper the harvest. You know, I was wondering, well, if the harvest is ripened, how do we know the harvest is ripened? Well, right away we think like a crop, you know. We know when it's ready to be plucked. But a lot of people don't realize when the world is ripened for harvesting. And I'll tell you how I know that the world is ripened for a harvest. We got some troublesome times. People are needing answers. They want to know, you know, where's this thing going to pan out? How's it going to work out? And I found that you can't figure it out by the world, because the world is true to its nature. It's getting worse and worse and worse and worse. But the church, I like to believe, is going to be in a position to get stronger and stronger and stronger. And how that's going to happen is that Dean Braxton shared some things with John and I that really caught my attention. Because I've always been a man of prayer. Now, I haven't been consistent with it all the time because all of us go through those phases in our life where our prayer life wanes from time to time. But, you know, God will get a hold of you and jerk that right out of you and say, get back into that closet there. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And so then you struggle to get... And see, the more that you struggle with prayer, that's a good sign that you're too inconsistent with it to begin with. But if you stay consistent with a prayer life, then it won't be as so hard. Then when you do have a slack time, it won't be so hard to get back into your prayer closet. Now, one of the things that the Lord had shared with me about prayer is if you're not a person given to any form of prayer, you've got problems with people. Because that's the first thing that begins to happen when you're not communicating with God, is that your ability to relate to people begins to suffer dearly. So there's something about prayer that keeps you in sync with people. And yet many of us don't realize how important that is. And there's a very interesting place. Now, we are going to talk out of Jude here for a minute. But before we do, I think what I'd like to do is go to Galatians chapter 5 first. Go there first. Yeah, Galatians chapter 5. I do have the mind of the Spirit now. There's a statement that has taken place there that's very interesting. In Galatians chapter 5, it tells us about a walk of the Spirit and its fruit. So go to verse 25. In verse 25, it says, if we live in spirit, let us also walk in spirit. How many got that verse? Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. If we live in spirit, let us also walk in spirit. Now, I want you to underline that word walk there. Walk. Then, I want you to go to verse 16. And in verse 16, it says, I say then, walk in spirit, and you shall not fulfill the desire of the flesh. The desire of the flesh. Now, I always translate the word lust to desire because sometimes the word lust gives a sexual connotation all the time. And that's not necessarily true because the word lust means a desire that is not in the pattern that God desires it to be in. But the reason I brought you these two verses, I want you to notice something. This verse 16 here, it says, when I say then, walk in spirit, and you shall not fulfill the desires of the flesh. The word for walk here is peripatos. It literally means a deliberate act on your part to walk around spiritual things. To literally walk around the issue of spiritual things. Things that will develop you as a spiritual being in the Lord. And sad to say, many people never really enjoy the new birth, the position that they have received when they get born again, because they don't know how to develop their inward man. They know how to present an understanding of their natural man, because a lot of doctrine today does a great job at clothing the outer man, but very little about maturing your inner man. And that's why I like Kenneth Hagin's ministry so well, is because he not only talked about the practical things of life and how God wants us to live it abundantly, but he also taught the side of you that should develop you as a spiritual being. Because your success in walking with God is not anything that you can do through the flesh. It has to come through the Spirit. The Spirit of a person that you are is the key to your success. Walking with God, walking with people, and walking in this life. And that's the whole purpose of being born again. Is so that you live a completely different life. But it's a process that takes time for you to get there. And so, in verse 16, Paul is saying you need to center yourself around the things that will cause you to develop spiritually. And one of the things that helps develop me spiritually, this is a Sunday morning service, I understand that, but I'm going to say it anyway. I treasure that language called speaking in tongues, for it has done a miracle for my life, walking with the Lord. There's something about praying in tongues that Jude, we're going to go there in a minute, said that it does something to you, and we'll look at it in just a minute. But I want to get back on this term walk. Now, when he said in verse 16, I say then walk in spirit, and this is what you must choose, or you, what you must decide to do, not God. God isn't going to make you do anything. God will speak, but it's up to you to respond to what God has spoken. You know, a lot of people don't realize this, but when you got the Holy Spirit, His job was not to come to exercise any authority over you. His job was to come and lead and guide you into all truth. He is not only going to be a comforter, but He's going to be a teacher. Not only a teacher, He's going to be a helper. He has many roles that He wants to play in your life. But it's still up to you to exercise the authority to flow in line with the kingdom of God that's trying to reach your life. That's why I was so shocked when I understood the Greek language. How come not one time is any word called exousia attached to the Holy Spirit? And that's when the Lord told me, it's because the Holy Spirit was not given to mankind to exercise authority over mankind. He was given to mankind to whatever He hears, and whatever He hears, He will speak according to what He hears. He will not initiate anything on His own. It is up to you to initiate what you want out of the kingdom of God. Glory to God. There is no limit. And I'm going to say this before I get into some more trouble here. I'm going to tell you, I don't care how far out you've gotten with God when you've received Him. I don't care how far out you've got with Him. He's still right there. Amen. I mean, He's still right there. And I don't care what anybody has told you about how upset He can get with you. Listen. I'm going to tell you, the love of God doesn't operate that way. It doesn't operate that way. The love of God is connected and committed to you when you're the stink of His life. That's true. God loves humanity. And you know, I'm going to settle this other issue. If He has given you His Son freely, what more would He withhold from you? I'll tell you who the withholder is. You. You withhold yourself from the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God does not withhold itself from you. You're the withholder. You're the one that's got a bowel problem. You're all stopped up. Hallelujah. God loves people. So in verse 25 here, if we live in spirit, let us also walk in spirit. The word for walk here is a different Greek word. It is not the word peripatos. It is a Greek word stoicheo. It literally means to walk in line in relation to others. To walk in line in relation to others. Now, this is going to shock some of you, but we call this the fruit of the Spirit. The thing that throws everybody off is of the Spirit. So we think the fruit of the Spirit has everything to do with spiritual things. Has everything to do with God. But the problem is, the fruit of the Spirit is everything to do with each other. How we walk with each other. How we're long-suffering and patient with each other. How we're gentle and kind. How we love. The whole thing, really, of being spiritual is the fact that you can live out of the fruit of the Spirit. And so when you see people get into calamities in life and get into situations that will just upset the whole apple cart, still there is a strength on the inside of you that you know how to deal with social aspects of life if you look in within yourself for that spiritual fruit. But that spiritual fruit has to be developed in you. How many can say amen to that? Now, If you will, go over to St. Jude chapter only, where we started. And it's a very interesting. I read some of the commentaries on this little book, and it amazes me how we need the Holy Ghost to interpret the Bible. We need the Holy Ghost. We don't need winds of doctrine to try and interpret the Bible. We need the Holy Ghost to interpret the Bible to it. Amen. Jude, the first thing he started to say at verse 3, he says that we are to actually contend earnestly for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Now, people don't understand that the word earnestly for the faith, it's actually earnestly for faith that was once delivered. Something to be believed. It wasn't referring to the miraculous, although that's very much a part of it, but it's referring to the sound teachings of God's word that was once delivered to the apostles that laid the foundation of our Bible, laid its foundation, and we're to contend for that same mind that was already laid, and the apostles not come up with new doctrine that we could add to the Bible. It's talking about getting the mind of this book. Then he goes on and talks about how the church in the latter days is going to gather together, but it's going to have spots in the feast. In a great house there are vessels unto honor and unto dishonor. If a man would purge himself of the things that would bring dishonor, then he will be found honorable before the Lord. You know, and as a matter of fact, that passage, if you read on, he talks about what type of believers are going to be in the church in the end time, and it's not too a healthy bunch of people. They're going to be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. At the first opportunity, they're going to take a pleasure before anything else. And so he goes on to explain the type of believers that are going to be in the church. It's scary. But Jude, I thought, was very interesting. He says, in spite of the spots in our feast, in spite of the murmurers and complainers walking according to their own desires and their mouths great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. He goes on and says, these are sensual people, persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. They never bond to anything. They don't bond to God. They don't bond to a local assembly. They don't bond to anything. They're always looking to find a place for themselves. And that's not the Spirit of God at work in our hearts. Can I hear an amen? He says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Now listen, he did not say prayer, praying. He said praying in the Holy Spirit. There is what you call a prayer of understanding, and then there's a type of prayer that's beyond your understanding. And that's that heavenly language that God has given to your inner man, your spiritual being. And so when he says praying in the Holy Ghost, he's literally telling us something about this praying in the Holy Ghost. And it took me praying in the Spirit. Matter of fact, it took me a little over 8 months of doing this totally on just a decision I decided to make. And in the midst of those months, I turned to God and I said, God, is this really doing any good? And God says, you live in Washington and you don't understand what it means that when the clouds get full of water, they disperse rain. Well, I know that. He said, what you're doing was when you're praying in tongues, you're seeding those clouds. You're having rivers of living water come out of you. See, and people don't see that aspect of praying in the Spirit. But people, when you pray in the Holy Ghost, you're praying in the Spirit. You've got rivers of living. You don't have the well of salvation working there. You have what you call rivers of living. It's a river that creates power. Amen. And no, boy, the times of my life walking with the Lord, yeah, I was pastoring your church. I was deader than a hammer. I was so out of fellowship with God. I opened my mouth and sand fell in it. Now, I wasn't back in the world in the sin, but I just got tired of everything. Tired. How many of you ever get tired of something? Is this Christianity doing me any good? I'll tell you right where I was at. I was in what you call FLESH, flesh. And I turned to God. And I started praying in the Holy Ghost. That's all I knew to do is just pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Why? I tried praying in English. I didn't have anything to say. Why? Well, I didn't have anything that God was interested in. I'll tell you that. And then just one day I was praying in the Holy Ghost and I said, God, I want an answer from you. I want an answer from you. And I start praying in the Holy Ghost. And one day I got an answer from God. Hello? What kind of answer is that? Well, where have you been? I've been right here all the time. You know what a good prayer life will do to you? I'm going to warn you right now. A good prayer life will straighten you out. Now, in verse 19, I thought this was very interesting. These are sensual persons, verse 19 here in Jude, who cause divisions not having the Spirit. And most of the commentaries I looked at said that these were church splitters. Talking about splitting the congregation. And that's not what this verse is referring to. It's talking about you're going to have believers in your midst who are very carnal and worldly. They're the ones most likely divisions will come from. Divisions of brothers and sisters, even the body of Christ. But the emphasis here is not the body of Christ. The emphasis here is to avoid sensuality. Go for spirituality. That is the most important thing in your life. Now, but you, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. The word building here is a very interesting word. It comes from the Greek word oikodome, which literally means a huge structure, a huge building, a big one, not a small one, a big one. And so this verse is really giving us some insight about praying in the Spirit. What it does, it enlarges your capacity for the kingdom of God. So praying in tongues, at first it's difficult. It's like you have to force yourself to do it day in and day out. But one day something will hit you called a witness of the Spirit and it will change your life. It changed my life. But it took 2 years. Yeah, don't go by my length of time. Go by your own personal length of time. So I'm not telling you how long it will take you to do that. But however carnal you are, it'll pretty well determine how long it will take before that spiritual igniting goes off on the inside of you. And once that happens, you won't look back. You will not look back. Yeah, that doesn't mean that the troubles are going to go away. It doesn't mean there's any specific something somebody could do for you to get you never to look back. No, it's just a change that will take place in your heart. And you don't know how that change will take place. But you know what? That's why God didn't give you to praying to build your most holy faith by your own intellect. He had to remove your intellect from you so he could pray out of your innermost being in a language that you don't need to understand in your intellect, but it's important to God what you understand spiritually. And then one day you wake up and the next thing you begin to realize something has taken place in you that's different. There is a change in your life. And you don't know where it comes from. And I don't know how to explain it to you how that happens, but it happens. If it happens to me, it'll happen to you or anybody else. Jesus didn't come to save Jan Butler in a supernatural way so that everybody else might have the same thing. That's not it at all. It's just that when something works for me, it will work for you. Sue and I were driving around yesterday, and Sue says, I don't think I could have stayed married to you if you hadn't given your heart and life to the Lord. You know, she said, you'd probably be dead by now. Remember you said that? You really think about it. God saved you in the nick of time. If you're sitting here tonight, God saved you in the nick of time. Amen? But he says here, notice this, he says, building yourselves up on your most holy faith. Now this is where it gets real interesting. Did you know that as far out from God as you can get, if you just step out and start praying in the Spirit, there's a faith that will grow in you that you don't even understand that's in you yourself. And God will prove your time to Him by a situation that will come your way. And guess what? A situation will come your way. Because Satan's number one goal is to kick you out of that prayer closet. He don't want you there. You're in the prayer closet and you're learning secrets from God He can't participate in. He don't like you in behind that door. He don't know what's going on. Amen? So every time you go into that prayer closet and shut your door, He's sitting there, oh man, how do I get Him out of that prayer closet? I gotta get Him out of there. Why? Bang, bang, bang. He can't, you're not gonna come in here. This is me and God. You get lost. And just keep praying. And there's things that begin to happen in your life. You don't realize how beautiful and how wonderful they are. You know, because we're so sense ruled that a lot of times, when we struggle in our prayer closet, we seem to think we're not getting results. Listen, whatever you do in your prayer closet, you will always get results because God receives your prayers. You're talking to Him. Even though some of us doubt it, we're still talking to Him. And one of the greatest things I can tell you about prayer that if there's a consistency in your prayer closet, the greatest thing about praying is that it puts you in a timing of your life you need that nobody can give you. Now, what do I mean by timing? So that you do not step out of His will, but you progress along in His timing. And you don't know how it will come, but all of a sudden a thought will come to you, do a certain thing, or do something, and all of a sudden you'll do that, and you'll find that it's the greatest thing you ever did. Simply because you were in fellowship communicating with God. Because praying in tongues is not the first line of thinking we go to. Why is it? Because it leaves our intellect out. But you know something? You pray in the Spirit and a thought will come to you and you go, where did that come from? The devil? So you don't know whether it's God or not, right? So I've found that usually if it's something that is not of the ordinary process, but I can pretty well discern that it would be the right thing to do, I'll just go and do it and find out that was the very thing that I needed to do. The very thing I needed to do. And it just thrusts me forward. Now, most of the time when believers are not praying, I'll tell you what their number one problem is. Without even getting a word from God. Your number one problem is you don't know where you're going. You have no direction. You think you do, but you don't. Well, then how am I supposed to know whether I got it? How many of you run into one problem after the other? It seems like it never ends. You know, we are living in a dangerous time. Do you guys agree with that? I mean, it's anymore you can't even use your credit cards. Well, it's been violating. Got a phone call. Your card's been violating. Oh, okay. Well, sending you a new one. So they FedEx me a new one. And then phone call rings again. Your undercard's been violated. How are they doing this? Sue's was violated. Mine was violated. Our ATM cards and then our credit cards. And I got thinking, how do they do this stuff? Finally, I called up. I even thought when they called me and was telling me my card was violated, I didn't even trust them on the phone. I had to call back to make sure that was my credit card company was the one that I had the credit card with. They were the ones that called me. And they said, oh, yeah, we're the ones that call you. Did you notice we didn't ask for your Social Security or anything? I said, yeah, I did notice that. But you got to be careful what information you give to people over the phone. Now, isn't that something? I'd have never thought about that before. I got a credit card. Isn't that great? Yeah, it's yours and everybody else's. And so I asked him, I said, well, how is it? Well, we can't tell you, but we can tell you it was a vendor that you used and that we have the person in custody that was using it. He was a dumb crook. He went into Walmart and charged up a couple $100 on my card, went back an hour later and charged up another $200, and then went back in for a third time. By then they thought, no, this is out of his pattern. So they nailed him. But the thing was, he was an employer of a vendor. Now they take your card, and if they get your number on the front and a little three in the back, and your history. So how do you use your credit cards? I finally asked a guy one day, I said, how can they hook things up to a gas pump and get all your information on your card when you use a card? He said, oh, they have the key. They open it up and they attach some things to inside of the deal. They know where to attach it, shut it and lock it and wait until you're through. And then they go and they open it up with the key and pull out the information. You don't see anything on the surface. So I come to the conclusion, you need the Spirit of God. You need the Holy Ghost. Why? Because there's a lot of crazies running around out there. A lot of dangerous things. A lot of crazy people. And you have to be alert to the affairs of your life. Like Proverbs says to. Be alert to the affairs of your life. Well, here, Jude was saying, things are going to get so bad, the thing that you need to do is to build up your most holy faith by praying in tongues. Then you got some parts of the body of Christ come and say, oh, no tongues. If God wants you to have them, he'll give them to you. Well, he gave it to the whole body of Christ. You might as well settle that right now. And quit that excusing. And start praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, this is what I recommend. If you haven't been consistent in your prayer life, you will have problems with people. You'll have problems with yourself. You'll have problems of making decisions. And the decisions you make will not be good ones. But something about connecting to God that's going to help you. Now, how I pray, apart from my understanding or my intellect, is that I offer up before the Lord so much time for praying in the Spirit only. And usually I'll do that before I go into my intellectual praying, praying in my understanding. And so what I'll do is I'll pray in the Spirit. And sometimes what will happen is you get caught up right away. You'll know when you're illuminated by the Spirit. And other times you won't feel like you're having any good at all. Now, the reason is because what you're doing is, I'm just going to give you a heads up right now. You might want to make note of this. When you go into your prayer closet and shut the door, here's what you're taking in there with you. You're taking with you into your prayer closet not only your spiritual being, the person that will make contact with God, but you're also taking your carnal mind, and you're also taking your physical body. These two do not know God. They know about God, but they don't know God. I don't care. You're going to live your whole walk before Him, and you will find in the end that most of your wisdom came more out of your carnal mind than it did your spiritual being. There are two types of wisdom we're talking about on Wednesday night. We got the wisdom of God, and we got the wisdom of the world. And God said that He has designed His wisdom that the wisdom of the world cannot find the wisdom of God. And so you and I are going to find in the end that a lot of the wisdom we were walking in came out of our head, not out of our spirit. So when you go into that prayer closet and you shut that door and you start praying in the Holy Ghost, what you're doing is you're getting your spirit actively involved with communicating with God on a language that God gave you to be able to do that apart from your natural mind and your physical body. Amen. How do I know this? 23 years of consistent praying in tongues that has literally caused me to live where I'm at now with God. The man of God that I am is the same man that is a man behind your back. You won't find me flagging off on girls. You won't find me drinking booze. You won't find me doing those things that would bring a reproach to use of my communion or fellowship. When you see in me and what you receive from me is what you hope I am at home. Isn't that right? Well, I'm confident in that because I got myself together. How? It wasn't by praying in my intellect. I'm going to tell you, when you start praying in your own understanding, you run out of things to pray for. Matter of fact, you even pray for things that God really don't want you praying about. He wants you praying about something else. That's why when you're praying in tongues, you don't know what you're praying. During one of the morning sessions, Maxine supernaturally started speaking in tongues. Some of you might remember that service. She comes up and she's pointing her finger right at me. And I'm sitting there, and God is giving me some definite instructions and corrections. And she's pointing her finger right in my face. She afterwards came up to my office one day. Pastor, was I out of it? I felt weird. I said, no, you're right on. And anyway, I'm hearing it in English. And she had some things to say about John Cook and me and end time things. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking you're all hearing it too. And I don't know how to react to you. I said, okay, thanks, Maxine. Yeah, thank you. And I looked at all of you and went, you guys didn't hear that in English, did you? And you all went, no, we didn't. It was tongues to them. I went, oh, wish you will. Well, that's how God is. He covets and protects you. But I'll tell you what, there's a place that you get with Him when you're praying in tongues. It's phenomenal. But you start out with a little, don't start out with a whole lot. But what I'll do is I'll take a passage of scripture and read it and then pray in tongues over it and read it again and pray in tongues over. Sometimes I won't even pray in tongues over scripture. I'll just pray in tongues because I want to give my spirit to God. So much so I get caught up in the habit that sometimes when people are writing with me, like Tristan, he'll go, you're doing it again. I'll end up start speaking in tongues. But I'm going to tell you what, speaking in tongues will put you on the cutting edge with a no. And you don't know how that you know that you know that you know, but you know. You can even get into conversations with brothers and sisters, and they'll start saying some things. You go, where in the world are they coming from? And you won't say anything because you just heard them. So what you do is you go into your prayer closet and you pray about it. Because you know that they're not in the prayer, that place of prayer they need to be, or they wouldn't be saying some of the things. Listen, when you are not a man or a woman of prayer, you can miss the opportunity of praying for other people. You know what I thought was very interesting? I'm going to show you how this is. I have in my mind not just this church, but the whole body of Christ. That's what I have in mind. God put that in me. You care about the whole body of Christ. Even though they're denominations, whatever, you care about the whole body of Christ because they are all God's people. By His word isn't the only church. Sorry to crush some of you. But God is in a lot of churches. He's not in a lot of them, but we focus in the ones He is in. Amen? And so in my thinking, and I just heard this recently, there are mass believers not going to church. Well, you know what? This thought came to me, and I think it was because I have such an awareness of what communion, the communion table is all about. God spoke to me one day and said, they don't have to worry about the communion table. Christians that won't participate with the body of Christ, how many of you remember my teaching on the communion table? It's to deal with our fellowship with each other. That's what the communion... Well, if you're a Christian sitting off in a home and you're not part of a body of Christ, then you don't have to worry about the communion table. You don't have to ask God to forgive you about anything. Because after all, you've already judged the whole body of Christ and you just cut yourself off from it. Cool, huh? Now you don't have to worry about coming under condemnation because you've taken the communion elements wrong. Why? Because you're just not fellowshipping. Except the TV set. I'll tell you what, people, HD does not have the answer for you. Much as we'd like to think so. But praying in tongues is very important. Now, you might want to write this down. I'm going to close on this because we're going to cover it again in a little bit. What are the steps that we need to take for answered prayer on our intellect? Praying in tongues, you don't have to worry about what you're praying. You can leave that up to the Lord to pray that through you by the Holy Spirit. Then there's a higher place that you'll go in the Spirit when you're praying in tongues, and that's called groanings. And I've experienced that about 3 times in my life, and that's scary. You think there's something wrong with you, and it isn't. But what about praying to God with your intellect? Well, I have roughly 9 steps here, and these 9 steps is what I follow when I want to pray in my intellect, my understanding. Are you ready for them? Number 1, decide what you want. What a revelation. Decide what you want. Yeah, decide what you want. Now, after you've decided what you want, number 2, ask God for the wisdom of those things that you want. For the wisdom of those things that you want. Because your first line of defense is always wisdom. That's what James said. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. So, the second thing you need to ask God for is the wisdom for the things that you want. It's important. Then, the third thing, are you fully persuaded in the faith? Are you fully persuaded in your faith? Many of us ask God with doubt. We go to God with 2 heads. But know that you're fully persuaded of what you want. And the 4th thing, read scriptures that promote the answer or promise the answer. That promise the answer of what you need. Well, what if you can't find scripture for that? Then have scripture that would support the things that you're asking for or you need. And this is a biggie. And a lot of people seem to not really understand this area, but believe that you've received what you've prayed for. See, most of us believe that only until the manifestation we finally got what we were believing for. You should be fully persuaded to the point that what you've asked for, you already know that you've received it. And you know what the enemy likes to do? He likes to get you in the way of what Jesus already provided for you. See, a lot of things that you ask God for, Jesus has already provided it for you. Did you guys know that? So, you know what? Don't allow yourself to get in the way. Because, see, sometimes when we ask for things in prayer, a lot of us have this condemnation trip with ourselves. We didn't do something right. We went in there like we're supposed to. And what do you think you're going to hear? Let God hear what you got to say after what you've been doing? You know, the carnal mind will always put you on a trip. I learned to just shut him up. Because when I'm doing something spiritual, he ain't going to be in agreement with it anyway. He's going to say, who are you talking to? The first time I went into my prayer closet, got all excited about it, he was with me. But after I carried my carnal body, my carnal mind and my carnal body through that prayer closet, you know what your carnal mind and your body says? How long are we going to keep this up? Oh my gosh, you're going there for 2 more hours? Yeah, if you don't shut up, I'll go for 4. That'll do a number on you. So believe that you've received them when you ask for them. Point number 6. This is a real heavy one. Watch your mouth. Some of us ask God for something, then we talk just the opposite. Watch your mouth. Is that all right for that kind of interpretation? Watch your mouth. Don't start speaking contrary to what you've already believed that you're going to receive. If somebody asks you a question, just don't answer them. I've got it taken care of. Thank you. Well, do you think or do you know? Yeah, I know. I already know what I think. See, sometimes people just don't need to know what's going on in you because they don't understand. And so, watch your mouth. Number 7, refuse to doubt. Doubt has an instant effect on your life. Don't allow doubt to have its place. Now, your carnal mind is going to doubt because he's going to stay there. But just learn to just not listen to him. So, refuse to doubt. Then, what will help you to carry you through until the manifestation? Meditate on the promises. Meditate on the promises. And then last one, give God praise for something you've already received. Not when you receive it. Give it to him while you're in the waiting. Worship him, and every once in a while remind him, you know, of things. I've had things happen to me physically I never even told Sue about. One day I was going to talk to her about it, and the Lord says, no, you've already prayed. You've already asked me for the manifestation, and we'll leave it alone. And then one day I woke up, I was healed. You see, you cannot go to God what you want, do these principles and turn around and tell somebody else something different. You got to treat God like he heard you. It would be, in closing, it would be like going to somebody and going to that person and say, John, I need a job. And I need to make this amount of money. Can you do that for me? And you're supposed to say, this is just for teaching. No, you're not going to give me a job? Well, I got to use somebody else. Billy, I need a job. I need it. And I work for you anyway. Pretend I need a raise. Oh, I shouldn't say I need a raise because I get a no again. But I need this amount of money to work that job. And you would say,
surely.
Thank you. Now, how many believe that I got a word from God? Or, well, from Billy, but he's a type of God right now. He said, yeah. And how many of you know that if I got his word on it, and I go to somebody else, boy, I sure hope he gives me that job. Now, he said he was going to do it, and you're going to give me the type of wage, you wouldn't even give me a job. So you're the right person to argue with about him. I hope he keeps his word. I hope he didn't just joshing me. Then Billy would come back and say, hey, so you don't believe I gave you the job? Well, yeah, I do. No, you don't. You ain't got it. That's how we treat God. When you go to God and ask Him for something, you got His word on it, and you know that you have it. You know what? God is going to give you the wisdom to walk in that. Amen. He's gonna care for you and give you an answer to your prayer. Why? Because He loves the fact. He loves it because you went to Him in prayer. You know what? Even if you were a toad with God, God would get excited that you just turn to Him and ask Him for something. And you know, even though you've been a toad, sometimes God will just bless you to let you know, in spite of your toadness, He loves you anyway. He still loves you in spite of yourself. Because I find that love is a basic need for everyone. Love. It is. It's a basic need for everyone. And you know something? When a person shows their love to you, you have more confidence of going back to them. And that's what God wants. I guess I might get the story wrong, but I just heard recently that Jerry Savelle had a visitation from heaven. And boy, after opening up the book and understanding the book of 1 John and everything, in my experience on teaching us on love, this angel appeared to Jerry and said, "Jerry, I'm going to be appearing before many of my leaders and emphasizing what I want the church to come into." He says, "My church is on the extreme low level of love. So the church has got to come up in their love for one another." Boy, when I first heard that, boy, So, when you want something from God, I gave you these little things here. If you do these, man, I'll tell you what. And then just give it time and you'll see the love of God come back in your life. Did you guys get something out of what I said? Stand up, everybody. Again, we need your help for the Rick Renner meetings. Just a helper. If enough of you sign up, we can break it up in such a way that you only have a small part to do where another one could work together. Listen, it bothers me when a church does not participate in working together for those who need the Word of God. There are going to be people here that's going to need Rick Renner's ministry. And so we help support that. Amen. We're going to close, Father, with every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, if there be anybody here that, Father, has never made you their Savior, never given their heart and life to you, Father, we would, by the Spirit, would love to see them come into the kingdom of heaven. Father, that is so important. Father, if there's a brother or sister here that has been backslid and would like to move forward again in that place where they once were when they were on fire for you, Father, we would love the Spirit to restore them back. And Father, if there be anybody here that needs physical healing in their body or the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Father, we would love to administer to them that wonderful, wonderful truth. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, just take a moment. If you're here and the Spirit has spoken to you in any one of these areas, salvation, restoration, physical healing, the baptism of the Spirit, would you step out now and come forward, please? Step out and come forward. Don't be ashamed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't be ashamed. Praise God. If you know the Spirit was dealing with you this morning, whatever that is, hallelujah, come forward. Don't be ashamed. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Yes. Yes. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes, honey. I'm right here. Praise the Lord. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Anyone else? Anyone else? Don't hesitate. Hallelujah. Don't be ashamed. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Oh my. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? Anyone else? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father, I thank you for these beautiful people coming forward. Their lives are so important to you. Father, whatever the need was that they came forward for, Father, may it be met. Hallelujah. This morning. Oh my. 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 Boy. Satan has wanted you. He has tried to destroy your life. Let it stop here this morning. Amen. Amen, sweetheart. Hallelujah. There will be no more abuse if you follow me. There will be no more speaking against. But God would knit himself to your heart and life and do things, let him do things that you would never have dreamed of before, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, honey. Yes. Yes. Oh, rotoshkere. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Boy, it's going to stop. The enemy is going to stop its work against you guys. Father, now as I turn them over to the personal worker, may they share with the personal worker whatever that need was that they had need of. And Father, and may they get it and may they be granted it in the name of Jesus. The enemy will not take them out. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Just go by, get the person behind you and go with them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay. Well, are you excited about Rick Renner? He coming. We have a hospitality and room back there. If you want to meet with me, just meet with me back there. If you have any questions or if you're new and visiting, whatever it is, feel free to come and talk to me. Praise God. Father, I thank you for your wonderful people, and may they have victory this week in Jesus' name. Amen.